I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
They have made a stone-cold decision, Sean, to ignore the mayhem, to ignore the murder, to ignore the absolute chaos and the anarchy. They've made a decision, and they've communicated that decision to their allies in the media.
Well, Geraldo Rivera, you know, everybody's just rip and read the copy points from the RNC. No, that's not actually the case. Geraldo Rivera is, I think, is he a Democrat? I mean, is he a registered Democrat?
I think so.
He's been a critic, certainly, of Republicans over the course of time. And he has been on the scene for quite some time and had quite a storied career in covering different kinds of things all across the globe. He is a supporter of President Trump. But he is so spot on when he acknowledges that the Democratic Party as a whole, and I say that as a whole, tell me where to look where it's different. When you look at the hot spots in our country, like you could create a map out of it. It's probably Googleable, if that's a word, where you can look at crime rates, murder rates, and then juxtapose that with local Democratic rule. I'm not talking about like, you know, Barack Obama's per se or Joe Biden at that level, but they're not willing to push it away. They're not willing to look at Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who just yesterday, when was asked by a reporter after the city was being torn apart, store to store, whether you've got store owners now trying to put their stores back together, not getting any help to do this. And nobody's stopping it. And the reporter says to Lori Lightfoot, you know, in the past, we've seen that there aren't really any consequences for these actions. And she's like, no, don't bait me. What do you mean, don't bait me? Nobody's baiting you. We're asking you real questions that everybody else in the world can see. And you're trying to, it is a case study in gaslighting. You're supposed to get done with that and go, well, I guess I'm crazy. I guess I just didn't understand. You're supposed to ask yourselves more questions at the end of these interviews. It's the same thing you see with Democratic pundits trying to every single time we say you see a Republican and a Democrat going back and forth. And they're talking about the violence and the looting and the rioting. Their immediate response is, well, I think it's important that we don't conflate what's going on with the peaceful protests. We're not. We aren't. But can you please acknowledge that there's some really bad stuff and we won't conflate it, but talk to me about if you're okay with the violence and the looting and the rioting. It's unbelievable how predictable it is. Well, somebody who can bring it home to us here, St. Louis has got much of the same problem. Mark Cox of the Mark Cox Morning Show joining us now.
It's too much winning. We can't take it anymore.
We can't stop. It's too dangerous.
I'm the best there is at what I do.
And that's the bottom line.
So Mark Cox, somebody who's been following local politics here in St. Louis, it's a sad story because it's like a rip and read. When you go around to Portland and Chicago and St. Louis, a lot of consistency in the lack of consequence. We saw it in Chicago just a couple nights ago, but we've seen it here locally, and we've been seeing it for a long time.
How about that, Annie? It's a tale of two Kims. That's what I like to say. You got Kim Fox in Chicago and Kim Gardner here in the city, and the results are the same. Neither one of them, as prosecutors, are willing to prosecute criminals. They didn't prosecute them in St. Louis when they looted. They didn't prosecute them in Chicago because that wouldn't be fair, apparently, to hold people responsible for their actions. And, you know, Lori Lightfoot seems to have had a little bit of an epiphany yesterday that, well, we can't put up with this. You know, this is criminal behavior. What, it wasn't criminal behavior the last time?
Wasn't her indignation annoying to you?
You know, I said earlier, it reminded me of that scene out of the movie Elf, where the guy at the end of the table says, call me an elf one more time. And he gets up and he runs down the table. When she approached the podium after the reporter asked that question to tell him not to bait her, she had that look in her eyes. Her eyes got really big, and she looked like she was about to pounce on him. She didn't like being called on the mat like that. These progressives don't want to be held responsible for their repeated poor decisions when it comes to dealing with this crowd that they're not exactly sure what to do with, Annie. They want their support, but some of them are not as crazy as the protesters, but they want their support, and they seem offended. They seem afraid that if they offend them somehow, that they're going to lose that support, and they can't have that. They can't have the dog that they've been patting on the head that just bit them remain mad at them. They don't want that.
What an unsustainable way of doing business, to only ever do things that are that's not going to offend anybody. I mean, eventually everybody's offended. We have no thick skin left in our country. It's cancel culture. It's everywhere. You know, I said last week in a segment we do where we determine if things are real news or fake news, I said, if we cancel anything, we have to cancel everything. You can find a reason. You can find something negative and offensive about everything if you look hard enough. And it's like I said, it's so hollow. It's not realistic, and it's not really the way we teach our kids to go to school. You know, like if a kid picks on you at school, you got to teach your kids to have some strength and some confidence in themselves. But as a country, boy, we are such a limp noodle.
I read the statement that BLM put out in reaction to the mayor's comments yesterday. They said that she doesn't understand that until they get exactly what they want, whatever that is, they will continue to riot and loot. And they compared the looting, to reparations. So at some point, somebody's got to explain to me how those two are the same thing. But they don't, Annie, they don't want to be held responsible for their actions. And I don't know how we get around that. I talked to Eric Schmidt this morning about trying to hold Kim Gardner responsible for her actions. You know, they're considering something in the special session of Missouri. I don't know if you've talked about this yet or not. Mm-mm. That would give the attorney general, if a case isn't prosecuted after 90 days, he would have the right to come in and take that case over. And, of course, the prosecuting attorney's office is not happy about that, because that would foil her plan to not hold people responsible for their actions.
Yeah, that would definitely change the game here in the state of Missouri, for sure. Once again, I'm just looking at Missouri with just longing eyes. You've watched more political presidential elections than I have. You've seen the timeline flow, you know. I don't know if every 4 years, if it's just an entirely different ballgame, or do you feel like there are consistencies that you can apply from one presidential election to the next? Do you have any predictions, any feel, any confidence or nervousness about the presidential election coming in November?
Yeah, I worry that what we're seeing here is going to be a coordinated effort to wreak confusion in the aftermath of this election, so that the left has, remember when Peter Strzok said he wanted an insurance policy the last time around, just in case Hillary didn't win, just in case somehow Donald Trump got elected. That's what mail-in balloting is all about. I'm convinced that's what this issue is about, Annie. I really believe that, just like we saw in New York, where fully one-fifth of the ballots that were mailed in that New York primary were declared invalid. What happens if you extrapolate that out to the United States of America? I was around for the 2000 Bush-Gore mess, and I remember the uproar around the country when we didn't know the night of the election who the president was, and then we didn't know for another 30 days beyond that till Al Gore finally gave in. This is the kind of situation where it's not just a matter of counting 800 ballots in Florida. You might be talking about millions of mail-in ballots from around the country. If they were able to make that happen, they could tie this thing up for months. And if it goes into January, past the slated inauguration time, and there's not a president, the House gets to step in and make a decision. That's frightening.
Yeah, that is frightening, especially with this
House. I don't
house.
Remember, I mean, you asked me for perspective on it. I don't remember this country ever facing the potential for something like that before.
Yeah, that is disconcerting. And I don't really know. It's like you're trying to get your footing. You want to get some solid ground that you can stand on. And the amount of massive stories that we're juggling right now as a country that are very impactful, real stories. I mean, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you are, because there's a side of the aisle for mask wearing. It doesn't matter which side of the aisle you are on. The coronavirus is still a thing that we have to deal with. It doesn't matter which side of the political aisle you are on in the 2016 election or the 2020 election. There's still a lot riding on this election for everybody. So the stress is very real. And I feel like it becomes so difficult that you kind of want to put your hands over your ears and just rock back and forth in the corner until it's all over. And I don't even see that. I mean, like, it's not going to be over on November 4th if you continue to listen to what the president says. If California and Nevada continue to have success in their version of mail-in voting.
Right.
I think it's a stressful time.
Well, you know, on the bright side, I remember when there was an effort and it finally got kiboshed by the Supreme Court. But there was an effort by some states to free up electors to vote however they wanted and not necessarily follow the will of the voters of the state. And there was a push across legislature across the country to get that done. But at the end of the day, as much uproar as there was over it, it was only ever done in states that were already blue. So I don't think it ever would have affected the outcome of the election. I feel the same way with mail-in ballots. What it's likely to do is that the Democratic candidate, in this case, Hyden Joe Biden, wins the popular vote again by an even larger amount than he would have won it before, because they've harvested ballots in California and some of these places, and Donald Trump wins the Electoral College. It's just going to be more reason for distrust and claims of wrongdoing on the part of the left. Nothing is going to get settled in November. Nothing. Yeah. Not the presidential race or questions over how we voted either.
You know, I think the thing that really gets under my skin, too, is the way that the Democrats have so much relied on creating illusions. These are not the droids you're looking for, where they get a consistent message. They hit you hard with a very willing and culpable media that will peddle the agenda of the Democratic Party, where they say things like in 2016, where Hillary says, you know, well, Donald Trump's not going to accept the results of the election if he doesn't win. Well, they've resurfaced that right now. And the only people who have not accepted the results of an election in the last 4 years, they're not on Donald Trump's side, or at least on the side of what I voted. They said that, you know, you have to be very concerned that Donald Trump is going to collude with Russia. And they said it enough so that all of the ruse that comes after that, every day that they get to put one more headline out there into the ethos so that we can see, oh, they're still talking about Russia. It doesn't matter what the actual facts and substance is behind it. It's just the fact that the story is still being discussed. That's political capital for the Democratic Party, and they continue to do it. And it leaves people like you and me scratching our heads. Like, it's hard to fight against an illusion, against something that is a fabrication of the Democratic Party's mind, of Nancy Pelosi's constant, incessant hits on CNN or MSNBC, where she just says the same thing over and over and over again, and it's not based on anything that's true.
Well, here's the sad thing about it. There was a poll out, I mentioned it earlier today, that talked about Americans' distrust in media. I don't know if you saw that or not. 74% of Americans overall don't trust the media. But if you break that down by party, roughly 71% of Republicans don't believe the media is even-handed. But 54 or 55% of people who identify as Democrats do. They're much more trusting of what they hear in the mainstream media. Republicans, exactly the opposite, to the tune of 71%. So the divide is everywhere. The divide is real. It's just that the people on the left either don't recognize it or, in some cases, they willingly use it to their advantage.
Yeah, and we're going to have to suffer through it. That's why I encourage people to listen to your show each morning on 97.1 from 5 to 9 a.m. Still don't know how you do it, but you do it so well. The energy that you bring in the morning is unparalleled. So
Thank you, Annie. I appreciate that. And soon I'll be doing it without hair.
Oh yeah. What do people need to do? Promote that real quick. Because I want to make sure that happens.
So we're trying to make me bald, and if we raise $5,000 for backstoppers, I'm going to let them shave my hair. So all you have to do is go to 971talk.com/Cox. You'll find the link there. It takes you straight to Backstoppers. You can make a generous contribution, and we're getting close. That's all I'm going to say. So I can already feel the breeze.
Can you see on the website how close we are?
No, because Backstoppers doesn't run it that way. Okay. They update us every couple of days, but we are getting close. We're in the final stages of it. We're really pushing to the end here.
When you shave your head, it doesn't always grow back the same, Mark.
I'm already nervous about this, Annie.
What if it grows back like red and curly? What if you become?
I know. I just have to leave it shaved, I guess. I'm a nervous wreck about it, but I'm willing to do it for the people at Backstoppers. So.
Well, you are certainly a giving person, and I am going to go make a donation right now. Thank you.
All right, Mark. We appreciate that.
We'll share the link to that as well. Mark Cox of the Mark Cox Morning Show. Go follow him on Twitter at MarkCox971. That's Mark with a C. And we will put the link out right now. We want the Andy Fry Show to have a big, big responsibility in making Mark go bald. I think that would be
fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, no problem. We'll talk to you again soon, Mark.
All right, thanks.
Quick break here. When we come back, we can take some phone calls, 314-241-9797. And Katie has got a little story about... What is this, the YouTubers? This is something that I think entered my realm. And there it was like a TMZ crossover story with politics, and there was federal agents busting up a party. And I'm like, that looks excessive, but I don't really know what it's all about. Well, Katie's going to talk to us about it when we come back and see where is the line drawn on who should be allowed to party and who should not. And would you fight for your right to party? We'll talk about it in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
One of those two steps.
I keep hearing
actually could be a two step. Little Annie Fry trivia. My husband and I actually met for the first time at Wild Country. If you can't find us, you're too stupid to be here. That's how I it was like the first precursor of eliminating dumb people from who I could date. Go to Wild Country. So if they were dumb,
Wild Country.
If they were too stupid, they wouldn't be there. They'd be wandering around somewhere else in Collinsville, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
It's a church now. Who knew?
That's crazy. That is insane to me.
On the Facebook Live that we have going right now, or the YouTube Live, or Twitter, wherever you're watching us, if you were watching us, every once in a while my camera focuses in on the TV that's behind me, and I look like Donald Trump.
Yep.
I turn orange.
Very, very orange.
Yeah.
It just happened a minute ago.
Yes, it did, and it distracts me. I wonder why it doesn't distract him. Anyway, besides the point, I want to talk first about this event that took place yesterday. There was a shooting outside of the White House, and have y'all seen the video that of the president? He's at the podium, and he walks out after a Secret Service agent comes up and whispers something to him.
Going to be, I mean, the way they're going, it looks like they're just about going to be topping records, hopefully soon. Excuse me?
Excuse me? What's going on, Mr.
President? There was a shooting outside of the White House, and seems to be very well under control. I'd like to thank the Secret Service for doing their always quick and very effective work. But there was an actual shooting, and somebody's been taken to the hospital. I don't know the condition of the person. It seems that the person was shot, by Secret Service.
So if when you saw it, he's standing there and he is giving his normal podium, blah, blah, blah. And the Secret Service comes in. You know the Secret Service because he's got the little old phone cord coming out of his ear mm-hmm. and going into his shirt. I don't even know if it connects to anything, but it's there.
But it's
That's
there.
How you know. It's worse when they're bald because then it's like really obvious. He comes in and he whispers to the president, and the president looks at him like, say that again? And then he looks at the press that's sitting there, and he just like, okay. And then he walks off. I don't know, Katie, do you have that?
I have this little bit.
So in Thor Ragnarok is a Marvel movie. There's a character called Korg, and he's this big rock monster. And you see him, you think, that's a scary dude. But this is what Korg sounds like. Go ahead.
Beers in the bucket. Feel free to log into the Wi-Fi. No password, obviously.
Beers in the bucket.
Is it Taika Waititi? Is that his name?
Yes.
Or am I saying it wrong? So when he is being confronted with a Secret Service agent who is interrupting him in the middle of a press conference that is being nationally, potentially globally televised, he just kind of looks at the press like, okay. And then he walks off. And then he comes back in and he explains what happened in the capacity that he can explain it. Katie, you had a very interesting thought. We were talking about this off air, and I wanted you to kind of read into that a little bit here. About what that reminded you of.
Yeah.
The way the president handled that very mm-hmm. moment.
So whenever I was watching this, I actually had a friend that's in the Secret Service that posted about it. And he was just like, this is a terrifying moment for all of us. And these are my friends that are protecting the president. So like, please
pray for
them.
So just to reiterate, you just said you have a friend who's in the Secret Service in the White House.
Correct. Yes, I do. And I
She's not bragging or anything.
No. But I can't.
I have friends too, you know.
So I watched it on his Facebook page and Trump's demeanor, the way he handled it, the calm and the cool and the collected Trump that walked out of that press conference reminded me so much of initially whenever he heard about the pandemic and how he reacted to that. Because I think it's very important at that time, he didn't want everyone else to panic around him. He didn't want the press to, you know, take it overboard and for everyone to get crazy. And so he came out and he started talking about what was going on with the coronavirus at that time in a very calm way. And that's what it reminded me of watching him yesterday.
Yeah, if he would have scurried out of there or if he would have like, I thought he handled it really well. And it would be scary. And to hear you share that anecdote about people who really more on the front lines than, you know, basically, if there's any threat anywhere around the White House, they're going to be swooping up the president, getting them in the bunker. That's just, there's a protocol for that, and they're going to enact that quickly. But he moved, and then he came back out, and he, you know, talked to the press, and he took questions from
outside
the press.
Outside of the premises, the wall, the as you know, the fencing, especially the new fencing that they put up is very powerful. But it was on the outside of the White House. Okay. And they'll have a full report. Secret Service, in a little while, will have a full report.
Are you rattled by this at all, Mr. President?
I don't know. Do I seem rattled? It's unfortunate that this is a world, but the world's always been a dangerous place.
So, I don't know. Do I look rattled? I mean, no, he doesn't look rattled. I don't know that the president really does get rattled.
Yeah,
very much. I think he is born for the fight. Whatever the fight is, he wants to win every time. And, you know, I think sometimes maybe that can potentially not be the most contributing thing for the way his political public persona is taken in. But, you know, for a guy who writes a book called The Art of the Deal, which I haven't read, so I'm not going to pull quotes from Art of the Deal right now. But if you are somebody who likes to make deals, there's something that you have to have, and that's confidence. And the reason why confidence helps you in deal making is because you have to be willing and eager to give the other side of the deal enough of what they want so that they're happy, so that the deal can be done. And it's about making concessions so that you determine in your head What do I need to achieve here? What is the bottom line? This is my do not cross here line. This is what I have to get out of the deal. And here's all the stuff that I would like to have in this deal. And here's, you know, the extra stuff, the cherry on top that you add. If you're, you know, going to try to make concessions, you can wipe those things away quickly. But you have to know, as an intellectual person, that the person on the other side of that deal needs to be doing the same thing. You got to find out what that bottom line is and get as much past that bottom line as possible. But you have to be willing, and you have to be smart enough and confident enough that whatever the other side gets out of this, that's not, if they're happy, but ultimately you're happy too, that is a win. We don't do that in Washington, D.C. right now. The only way for Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer to win right now is for Trump to lose. There's no Trump can get his and we can get ours. There's no we go back to our respective corners in the boxing ring and talk about all the punches that we threw that really landed and maybe not talk about the ones that we had to take so much. I mean, any good boxing sparring match, you're going to land some, you're going to take some, and then you're going to go to your corners and you're going to do it again. That's what should be happening in Washington, D.C. There should be conversations coming together where each side has their bottom line, and then they should go and they should have at it, and the party that has more power is going to get more. But the Democrats need to make sure that they get theirs too, and the Republicans that come to the table are going to have to compromise on specific things that they're willing to compromise on in order to make sure that they get what they came to play, what they came to get. We have to have conversations that result in both sides getting something. But in politics today, it is more than it has ever been in my lifetime, it is about only winning if the other side goes down in flames. That's the win. And guess who gets left out of that equation? You do. And guess who's paying for it all? You do. It's the biggest scam in history. We have a government that's funded by your hard work. Your ability to go to work and make money to provide for your family is paying for this nonsense. Remember, the government has no money. They have your money. And they get to determine how much more of it or how little of it they're going to keep. And then they spend it and they spend it and they spend it. And they can always go back to the money tree that's got your name on it. But in politics today, there is no deal. And I still say, as much as Trump can appear to be a baby about things, especially going into his presidency, my biggest concern was that he was going to compromise too much. That he wasn't Republican, conservative, fiscally conservative enough to know the values that make fiscal conservatism, in my opinion, the best thing for this country, capitalism, especially going against a socialist Democratic Party. I was too concerned that Mr. Art of the Deal, that whatever his have-to-have thing compared to whatever the Democrats have-to-have thing wasn't going to line up enough with conservative values. Boy, was I wrong. I don't think, I truly believe that Donald Trump came into Washington, D.C. was potentially the best possible anything for our country to not be so partisan. And in the midst of what we've had to deal with, in the midst of Hillary Clinton and whatever it is that they are protecting in the deep state, whatever it is that is so valuable and important for them that they couldn't even allow for an unbiased media coverage of the election, of Trump's presidency, it's never been about you. But they'll still take your money for it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute with more on the Andy Fry Show. 314-241-9797. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a minute. All right, no cheap Joe Biden jokes here. So, rumor has it, rumor mill, that Joe Biden might be making his VP announcement, like, potentially now. We're watching our sources, and we are kind of watching them dance around the idea that maybe it will be happening anytime now. Maybe it'll happen at 2:00. We will cover it. Can I make that? Can we will cover it live here?
Yes.
Are you going to dance around and make it happen like a magician?
I'm going to wave my wand.
This is the thing that I say on the air. We will cover it live as soon as it happens. And then Katie looks at me like,
but I'll make it happen.
We will. So stick around here. We're going to have it. If you need to transfer from your car into your home, I want to tell you about radio.com. Radio.com is an app you can put on your phone. You can pull it up on your computer. I think it works. I know there's a radio.com app on my Roku TV. You can also watch us on YouTube there. But the radio.com app is a great way to favorite the station, stream the station, and you'll be able to continue to listen to us. So find 97.1 FM Talk. Katie, can you kind of tell me what you're seeing right now? What's your gut tell you?
Well, Dana Perino is definitely having Brett Baer stick around. She asked him to stick around. She said that she heard that Biden has told his staff and his advisors and that he will be making a public announcement very soon with who his pick is.
Odds that it is Cardi B?
You know, they seem high. No. I mean, they showed some footage.
She's really
of,
gotten out front of all that stuff here recently.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, she did an interview with Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden. She could be one of the picks.
All right, let get on Facebook Live right now. Get on the Annie Fry YouTube Live, or we are also streaming at Annie Fry Show on Twitter. And you can participate in the chat as this is going on because we're going to cover it live. We will continue to have a conversation on the chat here. I would love to know what you think is going to happen. So I see a couple people. Kev says, I bet it'll be Kamala Harris. Carlo says, Kamala Harris, final answer. Brad says, I got Susan Rice. Todd Wren says it's going to be Michelle Obama. So we've got a lot of people who are here and commenting. So please come tell us what you think, and we will carry it for you live when it happens. This is a very impactful thing for Joe Biden. Whoever he does pick is going to reshape the campaign. I don't, in a good way or in a bad way, it's new, fresh information. Everybody's on the edge of their seat because they want to know who it's going to be. I think a lot of people, you said Susan Rice was your front runner?
Yeah.
Is that right? Here's President Trump on his thoughts on
well,
Susan
look,
Rice.
Well, look, the Obama campaign spied on our campaign, and they've been caught, all right? And now let's see what happens to them. They have been caught. They've been caught red-handed. It's probably treason. It's a horrible thing they did. It probably never happened before. At least nobody got caught doing it. But they use the intelligence agencies of our country to spy on my campaign, and they have been caught.
You know, I don't know that he's wrong there. Here's Bobby comments on our live here that she thinks it's going to be Michelle Obama. Boy, would that be a shocker. I don't think that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I know it's a name that's been discussed, but imagine if he comes out here and Michelle Obama is the vice president.
My gosh.
Would turn everything inside out, including my stomach.
I don't think she would ever do it.
But wouldn't it be a game changer?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
When you're thinking Kamala Harris and you're thinking Susan Rice, you're like very powerful, successful women of color who have achieved a whole lot on their own. You know, either one of them seems like a perfectly sensible choice on Joe's part. But Michelle Obama,
she's got the star quality. She's got that shine that everybody just absolutely loves. They're enamored with her.
Here's a question from Chris. How much of this is really Joe's choice? I feel he's the puppet, has no say in anything. We probably will never know, but I do think that Joe Biden is doing nothing for his campaign to make me believe that any of this is his active choice, that he is the one who's steering the ship. It feels like he's been told to stay in his basement, so he said okay. Feels like he's been told, you know, at times when he's doing interviews and he looks down at his paper to get his notes and then he doesn't get his notes right. I mean, it's like, is this your thought? Is this your policy? Or is this something that's been handed to you? I do question whether or not much of this is of his choice. Katie, so your call, as we're deciding this live on the air, if it's going to happen soon, would you like to take a break and come back, or should we just go the normal segment here and see what happens?
It looks like they're moving on, so I don't know if there's any new information that's happening yet.
I bet Dave Glover called and asked him to hold it till 3.
Maybe. That Dave, he's got so much power.
Yeah,
he might have done it.
He put in a phone call and said, Joe. I need you to do this thing for me.
Yeah, I think that they're holding off because maybe some it didn't happen quite the way that they thought it would, Fox News. So, I mean, we could – man, this is a tough call.
Yeah. Well, let's just keep going. Yeah, we will play it by ear, and we will just destroy the entire clock if we have to.
If necessary, we can do it.
314-241-9797. If you would like to weigh in on who you think it's going to be. We're slated to speak with Jim Carafano at 2 o'clock. I'm excited to have this conversation with him because he's going to talk to us about election meddling. You know, we hear Nancy Pelosi, even her comments was like, China just would prefer Joe Biden, but Russia's actually trying to influence the election to benefit Donald Trump. Like, whether or not China is actually doing anything is not of her concern. It's just like, pay no attention to China. Look at Russia. Russia, Trump. Trump, Russia. It's the thing that we need to not ever let leave our mind. And it's going to continue to come back up because every time somebody mentions Trump and Russia in the same sentence, it's like what I was talking about with Mark Cox. When you listen to the way the Democrats will create scandals, they talk about them. And then they make them happen. It's like they swirl a storm up around Donald Trump where they suggest somehow, way, shape, or form something is off center. And then they go and they start. There's a leak that's reported. I mean, like the entire impeachment process was based off of Adam Schiff leaks. I have had my fill of Adam Schiff for 2020. Mm. I cannot believe that impeachment was in the same year that we're living in now because I have aged 37 years just in 2020 alone. But they raise questions, they put doubts in the minds of the American people, and then they cover stories that subsidize them. The idea that Donald Trump is a racist is ground zero for this, where they created an idea, a fundamental truth. They fabricated it out of thin air, that Donald Trump was a racist individual, when there's so much historical context to suggest that he was loved and supported by diverse communities before he became a Republican candidate for the presidency. Oh, and he was also used to be a Democrat. So the only thing that they didn't like about Donald Trump was the fact that he became a Republican. But now that they've said it enough and they've kept it fresh enough in your mind that Donald Trump is in fact a racist, then every single story that comes later where they can attach the stupid words dog whistle about something, they try to tell you, well, what the president really meant to say is da 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 da. And then they try to explain to you that it's another example of how he's racist. See, we told you. But there's no fundamental facts that actually lay the foundation for that to be the truth. If Donald Trump had ever said any of the nonsense that Joe Biden has said recently in the campaign, not like 20 years ago, they would have something behind it. All right, we have a pick. Is that right?
The announcement has not officially started yet. But Joe Biden has picked someone. Yes.
So what do you want me to do, Katie? You're playing the music.
Let's go to break and I'll just cut in.
We are going to have the announcement live when it happens.
No matter
usually
what.
It'll start like 15 minutes into our or 15 seconds into our commercial break. Stay here. Watch us on our Facebook Live, our Annie Fry YouTube Live. Go on YouTube, type in Annie Fry or at Annie Fry Show on Twitter. You can watch us there and participate in the chat while we cover it live. Is it happening?
Not yet.
Okay. Quick break. When we come back, we anticipate the possibility that Joe Biden will be making that announcement. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in an undetermined amount of time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.